I've never been involved in streaming worship online until we went into lockdown, and I suspect that is no surprise to anyone watching. I could make a lengthy film of all the goofs that I've made. A key mistake is when you have a light source in front of the camera looking straight into it, and it means that the viewer tends to feel dazzled. A different problem, of course, will be having too little light, and then it looks as if you're filming in a cave. Light is something we don't want to look straight at, but without which we can't see anything else. My sense of being in the dark is that that's quite a good image for this time of coronavirus, the darkness of sickness, of confusion, of uncertainty. Our Bible reading from Matthew chapter 17 is all about moving into the light, and how Peter reacts in our reading tells us much about how we should behave. Let's dig into this Bible reading in more detail. If you can, please do open your Bibles. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up a mountain. There he was transfigured, his face shone. This was an overwhelming experience. We can know something of it, but it's also beyond words. Moses and Elijah, key figures from the Old Testament, appear beside him. Moses and Elijah reflect the expectation of the Jewish people at the time of Jesus that these two figures would return when the Messiah came. And we should note how Moses and Elijah were two God-given, were people who had a God-given mission, which involved rejection and suffering. In verse 4 of chapter 17, Peter tries to act. He tries to build shelters. It's not entirely clear why he wanted to do this. The word shelter was the word for a kind of temporary shelter of branches that was made by pilgrims during the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't think of bus shelters. We're not quite sure what Peter was thinking of. Is this something like Moses setting up what was called the tent of meeting in the book of Exodus? We don't know. But Peter is misunderstanding Jesus's mission. For he's not going to stay on the mountain, but go back down on the way to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. Peter is trying to act, but this really isn't the moment to do things. It is the moment for worship and adoration. Verse 5, a cloud covers them all. And a cloud in the Old Testament often signifies God's presence. The reference to it being bright reflects something in the Old Testament called the Shekinah, the visible glory of God. You might think here of where God speaks out of a cloud in the book of Exodus, and he speaks here. This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And here we have a repeat of the words God the Father says to Jesus at his baptism earlier on, except for the final three words, listen to him. God is drawing attention to God, Jesus, rather than to Moses or Elijah, indicating how Jesus is even more important than them. Now, the Jews thought the world of Moses and Elijah, so this was really saying something. We are to listen above all to Jesus, more than even the best of human beings. Jesus is the Son of God, more than any prophet, more than any teacher. And just as God's voice from the cloud in Sinai gave authority to the law he gave to Moses, so God's voice in the Transfiguration gave authority to Jesus's words. And the divine voice in the cloud says of Jesus, listen to him. So what are the first words that Jesus spoke after that command to which the disciples could listen? The first things he says and to which the disciples listened were in verse 7, get up, don't be afraid. They are to head down the mountain and they are not to be afraid. Then in verse 9, Jesus tells the disciples not to tell others of what they've seen. Why does he do this? Well, it's because, as verse 10 shows, the disciples don't yet really understand who Jesus is. Only after the cross and the resurrection do they really get it. So what is the meaning of this extraordinary incident? Well, I think it means, firstly, that Jesus is truly glorious. When we read on in the Gospels, we will see Jesus journeying to Jerusalem, facing agony and death on the cross. In these moments, he seems utterly degraded. And yet, despite all this, within all this, he is truly glorious. He remains God's Son, bearing the sins of the world. God's Son, who in 3 days after the cross will rise, showing that nothing is stronger than him, that he is stronger even than death. In all his weakness, he is glorious. He is God's Son. And on the mountain, they see Jesus as he truly is. Jesus is glorious, and the light around him, it is terrifying. The disciples in verse 6 are terrified. It's a reminder to us that we never encounter God lightly. Any meeting with God is no small thing. And the light of Christ, as well as being glorious and being terrifying, is also illuminating. Jesus as creator is the light by which we see all other light, the light of science, the light of art. Jesus on the cross brings light to the deep darkness of human suffering and wrongdoing. Jesus in the resurrection lightens the darkness of death. And we can learn much too from how Peter behaves. Notice how he always stays with Jesus. He's followed him to the mountain and he goes up the mountain with Jesus and indeed goes back down. Yes, he's stammering and yammering and doesn't really understand what's going on, but he remains always on the pitch in the game. And Jesus, as well as staying with Jesus, and Peter, as well as staying with Jesus, notice too how he is blinded by the light of Christ. And I think there's something here showing us through Peter how God is ultimately beyond our words. There's something ultimately unknowable beyond our human thinking about God. Peter's stammering is something we should recognize for ourselves. We should be those who stammer in some way before God. Not knowing what to say before God is the beginning of wisdom. And then notice how Peter goes down the mountain with Jesus. Yes, he doesn't get it right. He doesn't fully understand, but he keeps on keeping on, and he will understand one day. So what might this passage be saying to us? It certainly, I think, says something about how we need to stick with Jesus. One of the ways I think we can do this is, rather than simply hearing small bits of the Gospels, is to read one of the Gospels all the way through. It takes about, I don't know, half an hour to do that. If you've never done it, I'd recommend maybe reading the Gospel of Luke or John, both of which have a very clear structure that can be followed. But reading a Gospel all the way through is a great way to stay with Jesus, and you'll make much better sense of Jesus as you do. Peter stayed with Jesus through the Gospels. He doesn't dip in and out. He follows the light and he stays with the light. And this passage says also something about how when we meet Christ, we are blinded by the light. There is a rightness in the way we need to be still and quiet before God. He is more than we are. We are weak, but he is mighty. And this light of Christ is multifaceted. He is neither left wing nor right wing. He connects with the poorest and the most downtrodden, the prostitutes and the blind beggars, but he connects with the rich tax collectors and the high up officials like Nicodemus. He connects with hard-bitten soldiers and unclean lepers. He eats with the Pharisees, the lawyers who were the movers and the shakers. Jesus does not fit into pigeonholes. He dazzles us, and we need to beware thinking that we have him sussed. And we need to, this passage says something to us about the comfort of the light of Christ. I remember as a small child how my parents would leave the light on the landing because that I found it comforting. It helped me sleep. These days, if I've got too much, if there's too much light, I can't get to sleep. Do you in these days need comfort? Do you fear for your family or for your work or for the future? Or do you fear for your own life? Christ offers you rest from fear. The divine voice in the cloud said, listen to him. And the first words that Jesus said were, get up, don't be afraid. Peter stayed with Jesus and he found in him great comfort. Reading the Gospels, I'm struck by the many sidedness of Jesus. We see in him the teacher and the healer, the listener and the questioner. In his foot washing, we see Jesus the servant. But here on the mountain, we see Jesus glorified. We glimpse his glory. Like Peter, we need to stay with Jesus, see his light, be dazzled by the light, be comforted by the light. I love going up Sutton Bank, which is near Thirsk. It's a very steep road and then it levels out on the top. And from the top of Sutton Bank, you can see right across Yorkshire. You can see right down south to the power stations. You can see across to the Dales. You can see the length of the Vale of York and the North York Moors behind. Just like Peter on the mountain of Transfiguration, you see much further than when you're just down on the valley floor.